You'll take your Bibles, please. Let's turn together to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. I want to pick up where we left off last time. 2 weeks ago, we were in this particular passage, and I'm going to skip over here some slides to get to a section here that I want to touch on here about the queen. And I want to speak directly tonight as we consider a godly living in challenging times and changing times especially, not being afraid to live courageously because other people are watching you. Now, there are people watching you. Your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, friends at work, people that you know around the community, they're watching you. What are they taking away from your life? We have a testimony from God's Word about a queen, the queen mother, who was up in years, probably older than Daniel. Daniel's 62 years of age, according to Josephus, at this particular time. And there were people that were watching his life, and especially this queen, at a very important juncture, the end of a kingdom. This queen steps forward and she says, I know somebody that can tell you what's on that wall. And she gives a very detailed testimony about Daniel. Now, I don't know how much interaction Daniel had with this queen. It's quite evident to me that a period of years had taken place before he had had real active service because Nebuchadnezzar had been dead for at least 10 years. And we know Daniel was not always involved in government service. As a matter of fact, Belshazzar didn't even know who Daniel was. The queen mother had to tell him about this Jewish man, Daniel, who had served under Nebuchadnezzar, and that he could answer the questions. Belshazzar didn't even know who he was. And so here we find this woman giving a very detailed testimony about Daniel. And I want us to think together as a church family. I want us to think about our life. What kind of a life am I living? And what are people coming away from my life? Now don't cop this attitude. Well, it doesn't matter what other people think. That's not the point. The point is, are you living in such a way that people are drawn to your God? Because that's brought out by this passage. Are you living in such a way that people are drawn to your God? And if they are not, something's wrong with your testimony. Now, we just need to be honest. Here was a man that had lived most of his adult years in a foreign country, living among people that didn't know who he was, other than the fact that Belshazzar refers to him as this Jewish exile. Literally the Hebrew, this Jewish exile, literally someone who was an outcast as far as his view. And we find that this queen says, I want you to know this Daniel because he's got a testimony. I want us to look through these tonight and the time that we have together. And we're going to look beginning at verse 10. Now the queen, now she was not the wife of the current king. As a matter of fact, there was actually a co-regency. Belshazzar's father, Nabonidus, was actually still on the throne. And Belshazzar was kind of his co-regent. That's why whenever Belshazzar says, if you're able to answer this question, I will make you what in command? Third. Why third? Well, Nabonidus was the king, and Belshazzar was the co-regent, and there was a third spot, and he said, I'll make you third spot in our country. So, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came unto the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Why? Let's ask the question. She's saying, don't let your countenance fall. Don't be upset. He was as white as a sheet. He was scared to death. And she says, don't be afraid, O king. Why? If all of a sudden the lights dimmed in this room and all of a sudden on that wall right over there, a man's hand appeared. I think in Sunday school years ago, we had a Sunday school series that we did on Daniel. And I remember there was this giant hand that Aunt Carolyn had made, and they stuck it on the wall over here. And then it had the words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Pharsin. And I remember looking up at that hand, and I said, where is the rest of the arm? That is one big hand. I was a kid. It made an impression upon me. Can you imagine if the lights dimmed and all of a sudden, in the cloud on a wall, a man's hand appears and begins to write on the wall? It wasn't a multimedia projection. It was God Almighty. And it scared the king half to death. And she comes and says, oh, king, don't be afraid. Why? Because, the next verse, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. I'll stop right there before we go any further. Would you say that's quite a testimony? Said, your father, now it wasn't his father, it was really his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He says, your grandfather made him one of the leaders over the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. In other words, all of these wise men here that couldn't answer the question. Daniel used to be the leader of them, and he is a man who has the spirit of the holy gods, who had wisdom, and he was able to answer the tough questions. Let's go on. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now, stop for just a moment. I want to show you something here about this queen. She called him by his Hebrew name. Now, why is this significant? She lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had a name for him, Belteshazzar. That was his Babylonian name, but she doesn't call him by that name, does she? She calls him by his Hebrew name. She's making a distinction here that's very important to see, and Bible scholars bring this out. In that culture, he was just an outcast, an exile. He was a Jew. To be given a Babylonian name meant to be given stature within the kingdom. And I'm sure in the court that's what he was called and known as. But she doesn't call him that. She said, Nebuchadnezzar named him that, but I want you to call Daniel, the Jewish exile. Now they all knew that Jews had a different God than what they had. Nebuchadnezzar met this God, did he not? If you go back to chapter 4, you find out how he meets him. Let's go back there for just a moment. In chapter 4, verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. But that's not the end of the story. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, now he's speaking. The Bible records what he has to say here after these 7 years. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, pray and extol and honor who? King of heaven. All whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He was walking in pride, and God took him down to a beast level for 7 years. And it's amazing to me, the kingdom wasn't wrested away from him. When he came back after 7 years, they let him come back into the throne, and he had more glory and honor than he had before, because he had been abased before the righteous and holy God. You know who was there during that whole time? A queen. His wife. Watching all this. Can you imagine? Women being without your husband for 7 years and said, Glory! If it could only happen to me. Well, that's what some of you are saying. I shocked some of you. Yeah. 7 years without your husband. Looking out a window and seeing him running with the beasts of the field. What am I going to do? My husband is, something has happened to him. But you know what? She paid attention during those 7 years. And whenever he was restored, she paid attention to what had happened. Because who had prophesied all of this? A man by the name of Daniel, whose God had spoken to him and allowed him to interpret the dream about the trees and the tree being cut down and the stump would yet remain alive. It was Daniel. And so years down the road, this queen mother hears of all the chaos going on. She's not present. She wasn't there, but she comes and she says, I know somebody. His name is Daniel. Hebrew name. She was making a very important point. This man Daniel had left an impression upon her life and on her thinking. And the first person that comes to her mind that can answer this and can see that writing on the wall and understand it is Daniel. He had a testimony. 7 things are brought out that I want to leave you with. Number one. What did she recognize in this man, Daniel? He has the spirit of the holy gods. Now, this was her way as a pagan queen of describing Daniel. He has the spirit of the holy gods. He is so different from the wise men and the magicians and the Chaldeans. He is so different. This was totally unlike the pagan gods of the Babylonians. They could not answer the dreams. They could not bring an interpretation. They could not understand the writing on the wall, which, by the way, was Aramaic. It had the vowels removed, and it was just the consonants that were written up there. Daniel was able to interpret that. He had the understanding of God to understand what God was saying and all that. One Bible scholar says, when you put all the consonants together, it looks like gibberish. And how they write from, what is it, right to left? Just like the Chinese, all right? They write right to left. And so to them, they had no idea what language was up on the wall. But it was Aramaic, which, by the way, is the father language of Hebrew. That is the very first language for the Hebrews. So, she says, he has a spirit. Well, we know who that spirit is. It's the Holy Spirit. She recognized that and mentions that first. Let me ask you something. People studying your life, do they recognize that you have the Spirit of God in your heart and life? That's a tough question, folks, because we want to think of ourselves in a light that's different than that. We think about personality first. Oh, they've got such a nice personality. I didn't ask you that, though. I asked you, do they see the Spirit of God in your life and in my life? That's far different. And the testimony that Daniel had was she could say in her pagan way, he has the Spirit of the holy gods. She mentions this twice, verse 11 and verse 14. It's mentioned of him. Number two, she recognized his excellent spirit. Now, what does that mean, excellent spirit? Slightly different word in the Hebrew language here. Now, we're not talking about the spirit of the gods, the Holy Spirit, but rather we're looking at his attitude. You know what kind of attitude he had? He had an excellent one. You know, we have to be careful. Sometimes we just get in our little rut doing our own things, and people say, don't mess with them. Don't talk to them. They're on a mission. That's a nice way of saying, is they're cranky. Okay, we like to put it in spirit. They're on a mission. No. Well, here's another one. They're just intense. No, they're just being nasty and ornery. We've got to watch that. This queen said his testimony is one of an excellent spirit. He's approachable. He's someone that has a good attitude. Even though he has been taken away from his home, even though he is in a strange land as a slave and a prisoner of the Babylonian government, which was about to change, by the way, he was now going to be a prisoner of the Medo-Persian Empire. So now things are going to really change. Upheaval. What's going to happen next? Am I going to live? Am I going to die? That's all going on at the same time because Daniel knows the interpretation of the writing on the wall. He understands what's going to happen. And yet he had an excellent spirit. He didn't say, I'm not going up there. There are a bunch of drunks up there. I can imagine some folks saying that. Can you? I'm not going there. Bunch of drunks at that party there. They're probably just seeing things because they're just stoned out of their gourd. And no. He knew that that's where he needed to be. He had an excellent spirit. She noticed that about him. Thirdly, she noticed something else. She recognized his knowledge. He was not an ignorant man. Now, Dr. Hobbs used to say this, man, put no premium on ignorance. You ought to be learning. We ought to be growing. Now, there's some people have more education than others. I'm not talking about that. You can have little education and still not be ignorant. You can pay attention in church and learn things and grow in knowledge. And this man had knowledge. We learn from the first chapter that he had new science, mathematics. He was a smart man. And she noted that. Now, you know, we in this room right here, we've got all kinds of different levels of intellect and knowledge and things of that nature. We're not all the same. And praise the Lord. It would be a boring world if everybody had the exact same intelligence and had the same kind of likes and dislikes and things of that nature. You know, it's one of the variety. When you have four kids, you've got four different ideas, all right? And when they were growing up, they made life really exciting. And when we got up to the age when we started driving, it made life really exciting. Gregory was my, you know, even-tempered, slow driver, well, not super slow, but he was that guy. And I didn't mind. I just jumped in the car and we went because I knew he was going to be back. We got to Brian. Brian was like, Daddy, this pedal stops. Why? Okay. That's called the floor, Brian. We don't want to go there. I mean, it was like leaving black streaks down the road. It was slamming on the brakes. I mean, he was just all over. He learned to drive a little bit later. He really wasn't interested to start with, but when he got interested in it, he got really interested in it. And then Jonathan, he was kind of the mix of the two boys, and then there was Elizabeth. And we had to use all kinds of things just to get her up where she could see over the steering wheel and get her up close enough to the pedal, but she made life interesting. And she'll tell you to this day, Dad, I don't want you to ride with me because I'm still correcting her. Did you see that person that just went by us really, really fast or whatever, you know? Said, I want to live to see my grandchildren. Do you mind slowing it down a little bit? She's more energetic. She's kind of like Brian was. So I got two Brians and two Gregs in the house when it comes to driving. They made life, they're all different. They all had different likes and things growing up. We're all different in that regard, but this point is this. This man has knowledge. He has knowledge. And he sets himself apart from that. One more, because our time is gone. Number four, she recognized his wisdom. Not only did he have knowledge, but he knew how to use that knowledge. And what do we call that? When you know how to use knowledge, that's called what? Wisdom. The ability to use knowledge appropriately. You may have chemicals that are on a science lab, and you bring your students in to chemistry class. Now, the teachers all know which students need to have handcuffs put on them and which students you can trust with the chemicals, right? When we were in high school, we had a boy in our class. He was funny as all get out. He had a sense of humor. But the boy was dangerous. You know, you say it's hydrochloric acid. So? His science project one year was the worm. He had the title on the board, The Worm, and he had a worm that he had pinned to the board. That was it. He was not scientific. A matter of fact, he thought science was a disease, and he wanted to stay away from it. But I remember our chemistry teacher going in there and said, you have to sit up in the front of the classroom. The rest of you in the back here, we're going to do a science experiment. But I want to do one too. He said, no, we all want to live. We want to be able to go home at 3 o'clock today because he was careless. I mean, he couldn't pour chemicals. It was just like, who's going to die first? Right? Do you have any World War I gas masks that we can put on? Because we just didn't know what the boy was going to do next. He lacked wisdom. All right, he just didn't know. Now, I hope he's turned out. I haven't seen him in 40 years. I hope he lived to be my age. I don't know. But he was careless. He didn't understand the dangers that were involved. Daniel had wisdom, and it showed in his testimony. And this queen picked up on it. And she shared it at a time when they needed that wisdom. The clock's ticking. The kingdom's just about to come to a close. And she remembers the man that can change and change those consonant sounds up there that make no sense to me. Looks like Russian to the Babylonians. But Daniel's able to share the meaning behind those words because he had wisdom. We're going to pick up with this, Lord willing, in a future time. I tell you folks, this aspect of testimony will help you to live courageously in changing times. Because you know what it meant? It meant it was a young man who now is 62 years of age, had spent his life studying what he knew of the Scriptures and listening to God speak to his heart. When we get to the end of this study on Daniel, we're going to bring out four aspects of his life. And one of those was his strict adherence to the Old Testament Scriptures. His strict adherence. We're going to bring them out throughout the book of Daniel. He loved God's Word and he obeyed it. May God help us to have that same kind of spirit because, folks, the times they are a-changing. And it's going to call upon us to get into the book. Find out how we're supposed to react to all these things that are happening. Brother, I'll share this very quickly. Brother Brock, at lunch today, shared about his arrest in France. And you know what it was for? He shared his testimony at an event. And within a few minutes, he had two armed guards that came, arrested him. He spent 4 hours of interrogation. But through that, the commander of the police force said, I want you to come back and I want you to talk to some of my men. What you shared with it is something we've never heard before. Would you come back? You don't seem to be a dangerous individual. He said, would you come back and share the gospel? Now, you talk about changing times. He's already experienced that in France. That happened 15 years ago. People need to know the book so you know how to deal with the changing times so we can live courageously. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God and for the testimony of Daniel. That through the years, this testimony stuck in the heart and mind of a queen. And she was able to share his name, Daniel, with the king so that the interpretation could be made. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live in such a way that people see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Help us not to be careless and slovenly, but may we live in such a way that our testimony rings true, that we have an excellent spirit, and that the Spirit of God is seen in our heart and life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.